Why didn't you tell the people to stop praising you? He said, well, if they didn't praise me, the rocks would have. Amen. Take your Bibles. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, please, if you will. We began a series last Sunday morning. We are in week number 2 of year number 16, 2016, that is. And we introduced the topic of the vastness of the mind. And what we did last week, we went through and introduced each week that we'll have coming up. And this morning, we're going to continue the thought here. And as we approach this subject of the mind. Now the Bible says in verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on the things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ's, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ's, even so are we Christ's. I want you to take note there in verse number 4 and verse number 5, where Paul said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I want to preach on this subject this morning. Your mind is a battlefield. Your mind is a battlefield. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, I come to you. And God, I thank you so much for your love for us. God, where would we be without your love? Father, your mercy is wonderful. Your loving kindness overwhelms us. And God, we want to become a grateful people, a thankful people. But Father, may we also understand that in our own mind there are things that can distract us from what you would have us to do. And I pray this morning that as we discuss this battlefield in our minds, Father, may we bring into captivity every high thing that exalteth itself against your truth. We ask that you would just help us to clear our minds even now, that the battle wouldn't be present. We pray that we could put a spiritual hedge of thorns around this building and around these people that would keep Satan out from our hearts and from our minds, that we might hear and be attentive to the preaching of your word this day. Not because of who is speaking, but Father, because your word is powerful. It's sharp. And I ask that you would allow it to pierce into our hearts and souls this day, that it might change us, that it might help us. pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Paul is introducing this particular topic in the second book of Corinthians here. And when you go back to verse number 1, Paul's wanting to be tough. And he says he's speaking boldly and wants to be bold toward them. He says in verse number 2, I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. He's trying to get this church to see that there is a spiritual battle at hand. There is a battle taking place within us. And notice he says in verse number 3, he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. He talks about in verse number 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I want to talk about, first off this morning, what is a stronghold of the mind. So number one, what is a stronghold of the mind? Something, a stronghold, is something in your mind that you believe and that you act upon. So something that we believe, something that we act upon, but it is not something that is always true. It's not something that is always true. Take, for example, in the height of the Cold War, we heard lots of things. I remember growing up in the 1980s and hearing about Russia. I mean, Russia, the war against Russia, while a missile was never fired, we understood that it could have been, right? I mean, everybody remembers those days. I mean, the fight, Russia was so demonized, can I use that word, in the thoughts and minds of the American people that even when Rocky fought the Russian, we cheered. And it wasn't that he was just fighting some big ugly guy bigger than him. It was the fact that he was a Russian. And Rocky was the American man. And we had all of these thoughts in our minds about Russia and about Russians. And let me say this as well. Russians had the exact same thing. Late after the fall of the Berlin Wall, Russia had always had or always been a country that would not allow American missionaries to come into their country. They rejected God, they rejected the Bible, they rejected, again, American missionaries and really any other missionaries that held to Christianity. And shortly after the Berlin Wall fell down, and came down, Russia began to open up its walls. Russia was in a very bleak time in their country's history. But they too had indoctrinated, I think, probably a little bit more than what was done here in America through the Marxist education and that. And there was a woman that gave a testimony about what she was taught. She was always taught that communism was the best way of life, that the Marxist system of government was the best in the world. They were indoctrinated in school and in elementary school and through high school and even into their college years that people that lived in the West, the majority of them, were in poverty and that food was scarce. Now, the fact is that is the way it was in Russia. Food was scarce. There was a lot of poverty. And they were taught that it was even worse when you went west. And so nobody wanted to go west. Nobody wanted to go to America because it was supposed to be that awful. This one particular woman got chance of a lifetime for a Russian lady. She got to travel to London. She flew into London, England, which from Russia would be considered the Western civilization. And in that, she flew in late at night, and one of the first stops that she made was to a grocery store. And as she walked into the grocery store, she was stunned. She was overwhelmed and stunned with silence because she looked and saw the vastness of food available. Sometimes I think we take for granted what we have. I mean, we go into Walmart and they don't have the particular brand that we want, and we get upset. Or, a fruit or something that they might not have. But yet everything else they have is in vast array. And if they don't have it, Winn-Dixie will have it. If Winn-Dixie doesn't have it, Publix will have it. Somewhere's going to have what you want. But she walked in and stunned because she had been lied to. She had been lied to. And she realized for the very first time that it was a lie. I think when I was growing up myself in our home, we again grew up in the mid-80s and 90s, and we did not as a family eat out a great deal. When we ate out, it was a big deal. And we would go to restaurants, and based upon the cost of something, we could either get it or not get it. And most things we couldn't get because it cost too much. And so I remember I was dating Rachel. We had just began to date, and her parents came to visit at college. And they wanted to take us out to dinner. They were leaving the next day, and so they took us to Outback Steakhouse. I was 21 years old. I'll never forget it. They were all ordering, and they came to me, and I said, I'll have the cheeseburger. And I'll never forget, my father-in-law looked at me. He said, oh, what? He said, son, we're at a steakhouse. I said, I don't like steak. And he said, what do you mean you don't like steak? I said, well, I don't like steak. He said, where have you eaten a steak at? I said, well, I never have. I'd never had a steak. My mom told me I wouldn't like it. I promise you, this is a true story. My mom told me I wouldn't like it, so I didn't like it. She told me the same thing about shrimp. Wouldn't like it. So I'd never had shrimp, and I had never had steak. And my father-in-law said, look, son, he said, this is a steakhouse. We don't eat cheeseburgers. You get a steak. And so they got the porterhouse, Rachel's brother, now my brother-in-law, and her dad got the porterhouse, and so I said, well, I guess I'll get that. My goodness, I never knew my mom was a liar. My mother lied to me. But it was a stronghold. What I'm giving you here is an example of a stronghold in my mind that I don't like steak. I tore that thing down. Amen. I tore it down because once I found out the truth, steak's delicious. It's delicious. But that stronghold was in my mind, and it was based upon a lie. You won't like steak. This woman from Russia had a stronghold in her mind about the Western culture because of a lie. You see, a stronghold it's a military term. It's a military term that refers to as something that is well fortified. Something that is, it may be a it may be a room, it may be something like that. If you will, let's think biblically for a moment. Let's think of a stronghold city biblically. Now, a stronghold is also one that is, it's supposed to be impenetrable. You can't get through. You can't get in. You can't defeat the strong. I mean, it's too strong. I mean, think about, I'm going to be carnal for a moment. I've already mentioned it, so it's already on my mind. But think back to Rocky IV. Rocky was not supposed to beat the Russian. Now I know it's Hollywood and all of that, but in our minds, I mean, the Russian, I mean, he killed things. And he was not supposed to win. It was one of those impossibility times, but yet the great hero, Rocky, he comes in, and with the American power and all of that, he's able to defeat the Russian, that stronghold. But let's think for a moment biblically here. Let's think back to a city that God said, it's yours, but yet there was something that was in the way, and it was a stronghold. The city was named Jericho. Jericho was a mighty city. It was a city that was not supposed to be defeated. It wasn't supposed to be defeated because they had a stronghold. They had walls that they say you could ride a chariot on the top of the wall, 2x2, all the way around. They had weapons. They had everything that they needed to be a strong city. I mean, it was one of those places that you would not defeat. Except one thing. God. God told the children of Israel, Jericho is yours. You know the story. He told them, you go, you march around, blow your trumpets, and then wait. And they did it the first day. They did it again the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, the seventh day. On the seventh day, he said, I want you to walk around it 7 times. Now imagine, if you will, if they had stopped on the third time and said, what are we doing? This is pointless. I guarantee you, because I know how people are, I guarantee you that there were people in Israel or from Israel that were walking around Jericho complaining. What are we doing? Joshua's out of his mind. Are we sure about this? But somebody somewhere convinced them, just keep going. Well, all right. And they kept going till that 7th time. They blew the trumpet. And I don't think they knew what was coming next. Can you imagine the rumble? The sound of those walls coming in? I don't know the sound. But I can guarantee it was amazing. And I guarantee you they stood there stunned. But it wasn't Israel's power. It was God's power. It was God's power. And notice what he says in verse number 4 in our passage here. As he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There are two types of strongholds. There are good strongholds, there are bad strongholds. A bad stronghold is a faulty thinking pattern that's built upon a lie. We illustrated that a little bit ago. It's built upon a faulty thinking pattern. I mean, we think about these things and we allow a stronghold to be built in our mind. We could say on this, while there is a bad stronghold, there's a good stronghold as a thinking pattern that's built upon the truth. See, there's something about both of these strongholds. Now, they are opposite of one another. One's built upon a lie. One's built upon the truth. And here we're there. But can I say this, that we may not be responsible for the thoughts that enter into our minds. Have you ever thought something and then thought right after that, why would I think that? Anybody ever been there? I certainly have. And it could be something as silly or trivial, and it could be something as vile can be. But we may stop and say, well, why did I think that? What was I thinking? And a lot of times we try to blame some of the things on the fact that we say, oh, well, I wasn't thinking. No. We were thinking. And while we may not be responsible for what pops into our head, we are responsible for what we act upon. Amen. We are responsible, and I think that's what Scripture is teaching us here. I like what someone said years ago. They said, hey, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head. I mean, birds fly over your head all day long. You may not stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest there. Everybody know what I mean by that? I mean, I didn't come up with that, but I thought it was good. You know, look, a bird's going to fly over, but when that bird starts building a nest on top of your head, you're to blame. Thoughts may come into your head, but when you start acting upon those thoughts, that is when you are to blame. There are good strongholds, there are bad strongholds. We have two choices with our strongholds. We can either run toward the stronghold of the Word of God and truth, or we can run toward the stronghold of wrong thinking. Notice what he says here. Let's break this down just a little bit. He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. To the obedience of Christ. Now, how are we going to defeat these bad strongholds? We're going to illustrate over here on my left, your right. This is the bad stronghold. Okay, in the middle here is where we have our thoughts. And over here on my right, your left, this is the area where the good stronghold would be. The truth will be. So we have two choices. We're here in the middle, and I have a thought. Now, what do I do with that thought? As I consider for a moment, this thought, I'm either going to run towards something or I'm going to run away from something. What am I going to do? How do I defeat this stronghold? Well, I'm either going to cast it down and put it in the stronghold of truth, or I'm going to allow it to build up and bring it over to the stronghold of a lie. In 1951, let me ask this, how many know the name Hank Williams? Raise your hand. Hank Williams. I'm talking Hank Williams Sr. Okay, very good. Maybe, I don't know. Hank Williams was a country singer. Made his living, started as a teenager, singing country western music. He was a member of the Grand Ole Opry. He found fame and fortune very fast in his young life. In his fame and fortune with a life on the road, he found many things that were harmful to him. Let me say it that way. However, one day, he penned these words. He said, I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. He said, I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Amen. I had somebody say, we sang this, I don't know if it was here, I don't think it was here, but we sang this at church, and somebody said, you know Hank Williams wrote that. Sing some Hank Williams song. And you may be against singing it, but, bro, those are good words. Amen. I saw the light. And he saw the right light according to that. In August 1952. In August 1952, Hank Williams was fired from the Grand Ole Opry for performing on stage drunk. He was drunk on stage. He had recently gone through a pretty tough divorce and had began abusing drugs, alcohol, depressed, and things had just increased to the point where now he's doing it on stage. How many know the name Minnie Pearl? All right, good, good. You guys are carnal people. I'm joking, of course. Minnie Pearl, her husband, was the one who fired him. But they thought a lot of Hank. And so to try to help sober him up, she took him out horseback riding. And as they're going out on this ride, she begins singing to him the words that I just wrote, or that I just read to you. Life. You know, my life was so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw a light, and she kept singing it. And out on that ride, Minnie Pearl gives testimony that Hank shook his head and he said, Minnie, these are his words, that's just it, Minnie. There ain't no light. There ain't no light. Now you tell me, which one was true? Is there light in Jesus? Amen. It's the only light. He's the light of the world. But yet we can get so messed up in our minds that we can convince ourselves the lie. There is no light. I have no idea. I've never met Hank Williams. Never will. Because in January 1st, 1953, at 29 years old, Hank Williams Sr. died. That was August 1952. 5 months later, Minnie, there ain't no light. I can't testify or whether or not he knew Christ as his Savior, but I can tell you this, he bought the lie of the devil. That was a stronghold. And at 29 years old, drugs and alcohol took his life. So how do you defeat it? Well, Scripture says, number one, cast down. Cast down the imagination. Imagination is simply a thought that comes into our mind. And I'll tell you, our imaginations can, they can go everywhere. Hey, I mean, it was man's imagination that said, we can fly. Okay. That. Wow. We can fly. And the imagination of two brothers took them from, what was it, 11 seconds? Who knows? Terry, you know a lot of knowledge. I was going to say useless knowledge, but how long was it? 11, 15 seconds in the air. Boom. That took from that imagination to what just flew over our heads. Imagination. There are other imaginations that are strongholds that have also caused a lot of other things. He says, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself. Now get this. That exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You see, it's okay to have a stronghold over here for God, for truth. Look, I am firm. Did we sing that today? How firm a foundation? Do I remember that earlier? How firm a foundation? I've got a firm foundation. This is a stronghold in my life. And I hope I never change it. Amen. This is a good stronghold. Why? This is truth. But I'm telling you right now, there are plenty out there that'll come in and say, well, I don't believe that. The devil has always, since the Garden of Eden, has always attacked the Word of God. And always will. Always will. Because he knows if he can get in your mind and convince you that what God said wasn't true, we've got to cast that down. But here's the other thing we must do. It's not just casting it down. The second thing that we must do, we must capture that thought. So we capture it. Now, what does it mean to be captured? Well, what do you mean? What do you mean capture? Zach, I need your help. Zach's here for one more day. He's got to go back to college tomorrow. Come help me, please. I've missed you. Haven't got to do this since you left. I just captured Zach. Locked him in handcuffs. Now he's cast down. Now, because Zach is a bad thought in my life. You're welcome. It's a bad thought in my life. Now, I can do one of two things. I've captured him. I can take him over here. And Zach can be a stronghold in my life that keeps me back because I'm getting bitter against him. I'm getting angry at him and holding things against him. And now he becomes a stronghold in my life because I can't stand Zach. Or I can bring him back over in here. We're just thinking about you right now. I got to decide what to do with you. When I capture him, now he's in my thought. I'm either going to take him over there where I hate him, or I can bring him over into the truth and know that, hey, you know what? Zach's a sinner just like me. And then I can love him because now I've captured him in comparing him and in obedience to Christ. Because God said, you know what, I'm supposed to love Zach. Amen. I'm supposed to love Zach. So I can either capture that thought and bring it here in obedience to Christ, or I can take it over there into the carnal side, into the side where, you know what, it's okay. It's okay to feel that way about Zach because of what Zach did to me. That's a lie. Amen. That's a lie. But we try to justify, when we begin justifying all these things, what we're doing is we're allowing this stronghold to come here, but our capture that we're to do is we're to capture that thought and we're to compare it to the truth of God's Word and bring it over here into this stronghold. That's what we're to do. See, the stronghold is there, but we're going to cast down that stronghold to bring it over to this stronghold into the truth of God's Word. Zach, thank you so much for your help on that. But check this out. As we cast it down, we have to capture it into the knowledge and every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now check this out in verse 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Revenge. We're not supposed to take revenge, are we? The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. So what's he talking about here? Notice he says, right after verse 5, casting down the imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's why I have to compare it to the truth of God's word. What am I doing? What is what I'm thinking line up with God's word? If not, I cast it down, I get rid of it. But in having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Here's what I have to do. I cast down, I capture, but now I have to carefully rejoice. Having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, that means the things that I've done wrong over here and had a stronghold on and all of that, check this out. Revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So I have to obey first. But when I come back to obedience, I must revenge my disobedience. That means I have to make it right. Okay? Can I illustrate it this way? I'm going to try. If you have a child that does something wrong, let's say they stole something. Okay? Terry, what'd they steal? What did Catherine steal? It's your child. Bubble gum from the store. Okay. She was probably 5 or 6. Probably. Did this really happen? Okay. I feel like I might be meddling. I'll make sure here. Catherine is his daughter, if you don't know that. 5, 6 years old, she steals bubble gum, and you find out. What do you do? Before that. That's Southern talk for spanking, I think. Okay. So she gets a spanking. Okay. But then, the disobedience, she stole the gum. But now bringing into obedience means you make it right. Amen. Too long, we go by and we do wrong things and we don't ever hold ourselves accountable for it. The revenge on our disobedience is when we come in obedience, we make it right. We make it right. I've had to do this in my life, and I'll tell you, it's not easy. And it's no fun. I mean, no fun. I mean, it's not pleasant. It doesn't feel good. It'll churn your insides inside out. But I'll tell you this. When you revenge your disobedience, it's a glorious thing. Because God's in it. Notice verse 7, and we're closing. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ's, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ's, even so are we Christ's. Remember the very beginning here, Paul is talking about those that were talking about how they walk after the flesh. And what he's trying to illustrate here is that, as I said earlier with Zach, you know, Christ died for me. Man, I'm glad Christ died for me. But he died for Zach too. And while he forgave me, he forgave Zach. While he forgave Zach, he forgave you. We need to keep that in our minds when we're dealing with people, because, look, people will wrong you. If no one has wronged you, then you've lived a pretty secluded life. But people will wrong you. People will hurt you. People will disappoint you. But just like you, Christ died for them. And we need to cast these things down to defeat the stronghold of the lie. We have to bring it into the stronghold of the truth and obedience to Christ. That is the key, the obedience to Christ. It always makes me a little nervous in talking about the mind, because I know sometimes our minds wander. Our minds go all different kinds of directions, and I'm not meaning to bring up a sinful past or anything like that, but it's possible today, as we're going through this, you're thinking about something that has gripped you for a long time. Today's the day to cast it down. Capture that. Get it out of that stronghold and be obedient to Christ and bring it in this stronghold. It's what we have to do. If we're going to be obedient to Christ and His Word, cast it down, capture it, and carefully rejoice as you bring it in to the presence of Jesus. You might have to make some things right. I don't know. It's up to you. Cast it down. Capture it. Bring it to Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Nobody's looking around. Piano will play in just a moment. The altar will be open. It's open now if you need it. I don't know where you're at in your life. You do. God does. You may be here and you say, "Pastor, you have no idea what I've done." I don't want to know what you've done. God already knows. And He wants to take care of it. Cast it down. Capture. Bring it into captivity with Jesus. Compare it to truth. Don't believe the lie. Let God have His way in your heart this morning.